Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kehan. Today, we'll discuss the article by Hathaway et al. Titled, Maternal Engineered Nanomaterial Exposure Disrupts Progeny Cardiac Function and Bioenergetics. This article published March 1st, 2017. Joining me today are Associate Editor Gary Lopeshuk, Lead author John Hollander, and content expert John Usher. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. Well, you know, nanomaterials are being used more and more in consumer goods, and it's not clear that these are always inert compounds. And the study by John Hollander and colleagues has examined one particular nanomaterial, titanium dioxide. And I wonder, John Hollander, if you wouldn't mind giving a brief sort of overview of what your findings were with regard to this nanomaterial.
Thanks, Gary. I can go ahead and do that. As you indicated, these nanomaterials are being expanded upon in terms of how we use them in consumer products. And so our goal was to determine whether exposure to these products in a gestational setting had impact on progeny and ultimately downstream effects on the young adult. And so what we did in the study was expose pregnant Sprague Dawley rats for several consecutive exposures. And then we took a look at cardiac contractile function in terms of myocytes and the heart, as well as bioenergetic impacts, to see if these things manifested as early as the fetal stage and if they persisted through the young adult stage. And our data seemed to support the concept that bioenergetics are impacted negatively, which ultimately have an impact on the young adult in terms of whole heart function, myocyte function, and bioenergetics.
John Usher, do you have any questions for John Hollander regarding this paper?
Yes. So to start, I'd just like to mention that, you know, this I find to be a very fascinating topic to study. We don't often think about what the implications are of kind of environmental exposures and what they may do to our health, especially during this developmental stage. One of the popular concepts that's seemed to kind of gain more prominence in the past decade is this DOHAD concept, the developmental origins of health and disease concept, where, you know, during gestation, pregnancy, the in utero environment can have a significant influence on the kind of future development of disease in the progeny. And one of the aspects that I thought could be potentially very interesting here with regards to energy metabolism is we've also become quite aware in the last decade that a number of metabolic enzymes or regulators of mitochondrial function are subject to epigenetic alterations. And epigenetics can be transmitted from, you know, the pregnant mother to the offspring. This is often studied in the context of obesity, but I don't think it's been explored really in the context of environmental exposures or these nanomaterials. And I was just curious, Dr. Hollander, if you could speculate on whether you thought epigenetics may be contributing to the phenotype and the observations you made in your specific study.
Well, that's a great question. And the answer, I would say, is yes. We've begun to make preliminary examinations in conjunction with our collaborators on this study. So we became involved and interested in this topic really organically through our collaborations with the Nerkowitz Laboratory, which is here at WVU, as well as our School of Public Health and our National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health. And those topics, at least as they relate to epigenetic modifications, seem to be germane and important to those groups in particular. So in our study, we started to take a look at some of those changes in terms of some epigenetic marks that were examined, but they were very superficial. But what I can say is we have been actively engaged from a larger perspective in this question with this study design, and without actually revealing what some of the data show, It does suggest that there are profound epigenetic impacts to the progeny that seem to have some likelihood to carry through into the young adult or even into the adult stage. Much of that work is being done in conjunction with Dr. Nerkowitz's laboratory. So it's a wonderful question and one that is absolutely on our mind and one that we're actively pursuing.
Okay. John Usher, do you have any more questions?
Thank you very much. That was a great answer. I do have a few other questions. Some of my questions are kind of more just like the implications of the study. As I mentioned, I feel this is a fascinating area study, not one that I normally would think about, but in light of your findings, definitely sparks a lot of interest. You know, the nanomaterial you focused on is titanium dioxide, and you mentioned kind of how its production and its use is estimated to increase in coming years. Are there other nanomaterials that you're studying or that we should also be thinking about in terms of potentially affecting the development of our progeny and future offspring?
That's a great question, John. And the answer is yes. We have been working in conjunction with our folks at the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health. And we have worked with several particles. In terms of engineered nanomaterials, we've done some work with multi-walled carbon nanotubes as well as graphene. And it seems that those particles are starting to gain some interest in terms of their applications. To jump back to the titanium dioxide, I mean, this is one of the more abundant in terms of its use nanoparticles, and it really shows up in so many different products that it has a very wide net in terms of whom could be potentially impacted from an occupational setting and theoretically from a consumer setting. But with the rise of these other types of nanoparticles, such as graphene, multi-walled carbon nanotubes, we have started to do some work on those studies with using those particles, although at this point, the work we have is not as well defined. But yes, I think that's a great question, and I think those are the kind of things that we should be thinking about as we move forward with the evaluation of how these engineered nanomaterials may be impacting both offspring and the adult organism itself. That's a great question.
And just to a follow-up to that, John, what main products are the titanium dioxide in, and is there, your data would suggest that pregnant women might be cautious in this exposure to this. What might they avoid to decrease their likelihood of being exposed to titanium dioxide?
That's a great question, Gary. There's a number of applications that include sterilization. It includes things like toothpaste, things that make paint opaque. It's a photocatalyst. So anything organic compounds that are exposed to sunlight can be impacted. It's in self-cleaning fabrics, auto body finishes. I saw an application for folks putting it into stone, ceramic tiles. So it seems to have a fairly wide swath of products such as cosmetics, sunscreens, lipsticks, soap. I've even seen one that indicates it can be used in the wrapping of salami. So you have this very wide range of products and applications, which is why it's the one that we initially started to explore because of its implications certainly across all these various products that folks would be potentially interested in using or involved in the occupational development of. We really don't understand what these things do, and the likelihood of us getting rid of these things anytime soon is probably not high. And I think the question pertaining to the additional nanoparticles that are starting to become interesting for people to look at is a good one. And I think, really what we have, whether you're looking at a screen on a phone or a computer, I mean, these things are all being made, these particles. And the question is, those folks in the occupational setting and to some extent in the consumer setting, how are they being impacted? And so I think the questions that both John and Gary asked, I thought were outstanding and just my two cents.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, I thought this was very interesting, and I'd like to thank both John Hollander and John Usher for a very interesting discussion, and I think this paper raised some important issues that one has to be a little careful about the nanomaterials being generated, and I think I'm going to check the ingredients on my toothpaste next time I use it, but thank you very much for both your time and your input into this important subject.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast. For more podcasts like this, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.